Hi, I'm Grace.
And I'm Georgina.
And you're listening to
Songs We Love, the podcast where we call each other up from across the pond to discuss all things songwriting.
We hope you guys enjoy the episode. Hi guys, welcome back after our long hiatus of 3 months.
Yep, a 3 month hiatus. We were nervous. Well, we're always kind of nervous before we start recording these because we just think it's a bit funny. But
yeah,
Grace was like,
some butterflies.
Yeah, but Grace was like, hang on a second, I'm going to grab a crystal. Instantly, as soon as she picks it up, I'm fine. I'm good to go now.
We still love songs.
We're still here.
The podcast isn't over. If you care about the podcast, don't worry.
If you really do care, we still love songs and we hope you do too. But is there anything that you've been listening to recently, Grace?
So I feel like I haven't been in a good pattern of listening. I don't know if I told you that I've been trying to learn Korean.
I feel like maybe you have, yeah.
So I've been listening to some, like, I've been listening to a lot of Korean podcasts, like learning Korean podcasts.
Okay.
So that's taken up some of my like time where I would be listening to stuff. And then I've been listening to some K-pop. I guess maybe I'll name drop my new favorite K-pop song later because it actually has to do with the topic.
Okay, yeah.
But other than that, like ever since I moved to Nashville, my thing that my Bluetooth thing that plays music out of my car, like from my phone to my car, has stopped working. So that's the normal time, I guess, where I would listen to a lot of stuff is every time I'm in the car. So I haven't had that. So I've just been listening to like my cassettes that I have.
Ooh, your cassettes. Real quick, yeah. What's your favorite cassette that you have?
Well, my favorite one actually broke, so I'm really upset.
Oh no, what was it?
Green by R.E.M. I love that one.
Oh, okay. Wasn't expecting that. I don't know
it's
that.
It's really random. But
yeah, I don't know that album, but I know who R.E.M. are, so.
I also love, I have, I forget what it's called. It's like Paul Simon live at the park. I think it's at like Central Park or something.
Oh, I think I know that one. Yeah.
And then I also have Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young so far.
Okay, I don't know which album it is of theirs that I've listened to. I can't remember what it's called, but I really like them. Whilst we're on this topic, have you seen the controversy surrounding Neil Young and taking his music off of Spotify?
Yes, it's very crazy.
I think it is a really good thing to do, to, you know, kind of have those beliefs and take it off. So I'm like all for it. But it is kind of sad that we won't be able to listen to it. But what I was even more upset about is I saw today that Joni Mitchell is following suit and doing the same thing.
I feel like I'm going to just switch to Apple Music.
Oh.
I think I am.
Maybe he's in partnership with Apple and that's why he's doing it. So then people that like his music will get an Apple Music subscription to listen to his songs.
That could very well be part of it. Like, I'm sure, because he's, like, always been a big activist. I'm sure it's, like, for him, it's probably about the activism, but I bet his management team is like, all right, well, we can work this into a deal with Apple Music. Because now Apple Music is saying, like, home of Neil Young.
Oh, have they started saying that already?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, I think it's so good, but it's also kind of like, he can do that because he is so famous. And people will listen to his music regardless. But it's so hard for like independent artists who want to follow their beliefs if they do have, you know, something that they don't want to. Wait, it's so hard for independent artists to follow their beliefs if they want to take their music off a platform because they don't agree with something to do with it. But it's literally the one main way that people listen to music nowadays.
Yes, I've met some people who will only release their music on Bandcamp. Because they don't believe in streaming at all. Like, they don't believe in people not buying the songs, which I get, but, like, I would rather have people listen to it more.
Yeah, I completely understand that, though.
I don't have the self-reliance to be able to do that.
No. And also, whilst it would be nice to be getting the right amount of money for the songs you make, because it's not my sole, well, I don't make any income from it. I think I make like £7 a year or something. because it's not my income and I have another job and I'm not doing it for the money, I'd rather just put it on a streaming platform so people can hear it.
Yeah. I guess the theory is that if you were doing it on Bandcamp, you could do it for money.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
But that seems like a lot of work.
It does.
I don't know.
It does.
It'd be easier to do like later on in your career. Put like special things on Bandcamp for people.
Yeah, like once you've already got an established audience.
Yes. All right, well, we should start talking about the actual podcast topic.
Yes.
Oh, but you need to talk about what you've been listening to.
So yeah, I've been in quite a good zone of listening to new music recently because I listen on my way to and from work just on the train. The train is one of my favorite places to listen to music. And I've just been listening to Spotify radios of people I like. And through that, I've discovered three new songs, which I'd like to share. So the first one is Shoot by Tommy Lefroy. The lyrics in that are so good. When I was first listening to the song, the lyrics that caught my ear were, I read a story about somebody who drove his family off a bridge. I have a feeling that, like that's what's happening, but I don't know which one of us it is. And that was like the opening lines. And I was like,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And then later in the song, it describes a scene and it says that it's playing Springsteen 88 in his almost country phase. And that just like made me laugh. Yeah,
so that sold you.
Yeah. So that's a cool song. Also, Immune by Jensen McRae, which is kind of in the pop genre, as is Shoot by Tommy Lefroy, but more alternative pop. And I think the lyrics in that just got me as well with the melodies. Like the second verse says, radio was static through the Taylor song. I think a college football game is coming on. And then just listen to the rest of the verse. It's just such a good song. It's one of those ones that I just can't stop playing on repeat. And obviously the reference to Taylor Swift.
You gotta love that.
Yeah. And then finally, in a bit of a turn, I never really listened to Leonard Cohen properly. I know.
That's my man.
Yeah, I knew you listened to him. This podcast is just a series of me naming all the really famous people that I've never listened to. So we've got the Beatles, Leonard Cohen. But on came the song, Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye. I don't know if you know it.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Oh, really?
I posted that on my story just the other day.
Oh, really? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's where you saw
maybe
it.
Maybe that's where I saw it, because whenever people post on their stories, I make a conscious like effort to always listen to it. So I hear new things. It must be from that.
That is a noble endeavor.
I always do it. If it's someone I'm actually like friends with or I like care about their music taste, I will always listen to it to just like, you know, expand my tastes or whatever. So that must have been from you. But I listened to it and I was like, oh my God, this is so sad and so good. And I love it.
I'm so glad you love that.
Yeah.
That's just going to turn into a podcast about that song.
we can't go into it, but I literally have listened to that every morning and every evening, like going to work in the last like 2 weeks or something.
It's a good morning or evening song.
Mm-hmm.
I love the line so much. Like your hair upon the pillow, like a sleepy golden storm. That's one of my favorite lyrics ever.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's just so nice. And the guitar picking with his voice as well, because I've never really heard him sing before. It's really nice. But let's get on to the topic of this week's podcast.
Okay, guys, we're going to be talking about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is alliteration.
Ah, nice.
So I feel the need to briefly explain what alliteration is in case anyone doesn't quite know, but yep. It is when you're using repeated of the same consonant sounds is not count as alliteration if it is a vowel.
If it's a vowel, it doesn't count as alliteration.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I wish I would have known this whilst I was preparing for this episode because I was not aware. Is that, what's that then? That's not,
it's
not assonance, is it?
I think it is assonance.
Because I thought assonance is where it's not alliteration, but it's a similar sound. So like chain and train would be.
That's a rhyme.
No, but it is, yes, it is a rhyme. I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but I thought assonance is where the letters sound the same, but it doesn't start with the same letter. Do you know what I mean? So like sibilance is when it's a double S sound, and assonance is when it's a sound that sounds the same, but is not alliteration.
I think assonant, this is from my like deep wells of memory of English class. So it's not an official statement, but I think that assonance is kind of like, it's like a rectangle square situation where like something like, I just finished reading the book East of Eden. That would be assonance. The East of Eden, I guess both starts with an E. I can't think of another example, but I think it can be if it's like the beginning of the word, but it can also be like what you were talking about where it's just repeated vowel sounds throughout.
Yeah. All repeated vowels, that's it. Yeah. Okay. So I've learned something new, that alliteration does not include vowels.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, like, that's not a hard and fast rule. We can still talk about stuff that has it. That's just something I remember.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Because it doesn't really have the same effect if it's a vowel, especially if the vowel doesn't have the same sound.
Yeah, that is true.
But we can still use it for the purposes of...
yes.
Purposes yeah. of the show.
So as this was kind of your idea for an episode, do you want to kick off with anything in particular you want to talk about?
All right, I'll kick off with, do you listen to, or did you ever go through a phase of listening to Neutral Milk Hotel?
I have listened to their album, one of their albums, a couple times, just yeah, randomly, that's like, but...
They only have two albums, I think, so it's okay. Probably like the one.
Yeah, but I listened to it a couple times, but I never went through a phase of like constantly listening to them.
Okay, well, I was just wondering. Anyway, I really loved that album, the In the Aeroplane Over the Sea album, when I was like in early high school.
Mm-hmm, that's the one I listened to.
Yeah, and I used to cover, like my cousin and I would cover a lot of their songs. But one of my favorite ones called Oh Calmly
mm-hmm.
is maybe the best like masterclass of alliteration that I've ever seen. And when I realized that the other day, I thought this is maybe why I'm so obsessed with it, is from the lyrics in this song.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued.
When I was making my lyric thing of comparing alliteration of songs, I just put all the lyrics and then I highlighted all of the alliterations. And then I just only put in the sections where it was continuous alliteration. And this song, it was like literally the whole song.
Really?
It's just like littered with alliteration. Like there's maybe like 20 plus examples of it in the song.
That's crazy. I wonder if it was a purposeful thing that they did. Or
definitely.
It has to be.
But just from in the first verse, we have meaningful memory, bright and bubbly, fruits falling out from the holes, bright and bubbly again. Friend you could find, hang for your hollow ways, moving your mouth to pull out all your miracles for me. That's four.
Okay. Four in one line. Yeah. It must have been purposeful.
This is one of the best ones. It's a little vulgar. But, your father made fetuses with flesh-licking ladies.
Ooh, okay. I mean, definitely alliteration, but I was not expecting
It's so creepy and weird.
Yeah, it is.
But that's like that whole album.
Interesting. And when you listen to it, do they really stick out as well? Because obviously we're reading it through now.
They do to me. I feel like that it's an example to me of why alliteration is sometimes not that common, because it's a very specific stylistic choice where it makes it sound almost like a children's book.
Yeah.
It's very like poetry sounding.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I feel like from doing this in a lot of songs where there is alliteration, I feel like apart from in examples like that where it's really clear, it's actually just a mistake because you've just written the line that you want to write and it happens that there's alliteration, or maybe you write a line and you think, oh, if I change this one word, then it will have like a nicer sound. Yeah. And you think it sounds nicer, but you don't know that it sounds nicer because you've used alliteration.
I haven't really thought of that because I purposely use it in songs all the time.
Yeah.
And it's become a weird habit where I can't stop doing it. And now I can't write songs without using alliteration all over the place.
But that's cool though, because when you release songs and albums, your fans and people listening are going to like go through and just like find these. It's almost like little Easter eggs of alliteration. Be like, oh, there she goes again.
Yeah, they'll be like, how many times is she going to do this?
But that could be something that becomes recognizable in your songs. Like, you know, it's a Grace Christian X song if it's got alliteration in it, you know?
Yeah, you find the alliteration.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the first song I want to talk about because it was like one of the only songs that I found somewhere that was just very obvious alliteration through the whole song. It's very clearly like a motif in the song.
Yeah. So when you first brought up this topic idea for a podcast, I was straight away like, yes, that sounds so interesting, amazing, let's do it. And then I actually started to think about it and I was like, I don't really know that many songs that just stick out to me as having alliteration in it or having a title that is alliterated. But the one song that I kind of did think of was, well, the title may not be alliteration now, as we've discussed, because it's a vowel. But do you know Alphabet Aerobics by Blackalicious?
No.
So it's a rap song and they go through the whole alphabet and do about three or four lines where almost every word in those three or four lines begins with the same letter. So they'll do three lines with A, then they'll do three lines with B, and then three lines with C. And they go through the whole alphabet. And as the song goes on, it gets quicker and quicker as well.
That's cool. That sounds so fun to do.
Yeah, it's really fun. I'll get up the lyrics just to read out maybe a verse so you can understand what I mean. So the first line of the song is, artificial amateurs aren't at all amazing. Analytically, I assault animate things. And then it goes on to be, etc. And you think as the song goes on, you're like, what are they going to do for like X, Y, Z and Q and things like that? But it's really cool. So I'd recommend listening to that. And that is obviously, I think, the most purposeful example of alliteration I would ever be able to find, because that's literally the whole idea behind the song itself.
Yeah, that's amazing. Just an alliteration themed song.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it comes off as like campy?
I think it comes off as just amazing lyricism, amazing lyricism and an amazing rap flow, to be honest. It's more just like really impressive and being like, wow, you've done that and you're really good, I think.
That's cool. I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah, and it's funny because one of the first times I actually heard that song was because Daniel Radcliffe went onto Jimmy Fallon and performed this rap. So literally the guy who plays Harry Potter, a British guy, rapping in an American accent and like doing that whole thing is kind of crazy. Well, not crazy that he can do it, it's just funny.
That's so random.
Yeah, so that was one. And then apart from that, I was kind of stuck. So I actually ended up just typing in songs with alliteration in because I was getting to the point where I was like, why can I not think of any? And then as soon as you type that in, you realise that there's a lot, but it just doesn't stick out to you. So one that came up that I was like, oh, of course, is in Frank Sinatra's That's Life. The line where it's like, I'm a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king.
Oh yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, and I love that song. And I hadn't even thought of that. That's like an obvious example. And then also, they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. in Big Yellow Taxi, Joni Mitchell.
That's perfect.
So once you start searching, it's just really interesting. And another one I did think of is obviously Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh, yeah.
The start of that song. And it's interesting because also I'm starting to get into hip-hop a bit more. But obviously, hip-hop is probably the main genre where you would find purposeful use of alliteration.
Yes, for sure.
In lyricism. So I feel like, in a way, maybe we're missing out a whole, the main genre that is the culprit of using alliteration. So I just wanted to point that out, because if you listen to any hip-hop, there'll be tons of alliteration, most likely.
Yeah, I actually brought in a hip-hop song too, and I was going to say the same thing.
What is it?
Which is cool, because we haven't talked about any, we haven't had any rap songs on the show.
No, we haven't.
But I find myself getting inspired by a lot of rap music sometimes, just because it's just like such, I mean, I don't rap, but I love like the tight lyricism of it.
Yeah, and the syllabic nature of things as well, which can be interesting to put into more melodic songs.
And I also wasn't sure if I wanted to talk about this artist because she's extremely controversial.
Yeah.
But she's an amazing rapper. Azealia Banks. I don't know if you've ever listened to any of her music before.
I haven't listened, but I know who she is.
Yeah. Everyone knows who she is because she does a lot of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Her song, she does it in a lot of her songs. Like, she's that type of rapper of, like, everything is very, it's about the word play a lot of the time, more than it being about the meaning.
Yeah, and it necessarily making complete sense.
Yeah, and a lot of the time it does, but you can tell that the alliteration, like, guides the song sometimes. Or, like, she does it with rhyme a lot, where the rhyme guides the song rather than using an actual sentence structure that makes sense. But it's an amazing effect. But the song Heavy Metal and Reflective, just an interesting name for a song.
Yeah, straight off the bat, yeah.
But that song, I highlighted all the alliterations, and there's a whole lot. She does a lot of, like, back-to-back words being alliteration. Like, she says, like, Fridgie Froze is, like, the opening line of the song. I don't even know what that means.
Nice.
She just, Fridgie Froze kept, it's that fresh. It's, like, talking about a refrigerator or a freezer.
Yeah.
But it sounds awesome. And then she's, like, in that Prissy Stone set with that wet wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Prissy poem, she says later. The whole thing is like that.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to have to write this down and listen to this song as well.
I feel like it works very well in rap because it's almost like the repeating of a consonant is kind of like, since it is a percussive thing, it's almost like repeating a percussive sound, like if it was a double snare hit or a double, like, I don't know, cymbal.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so interesting. It really helps to kind of drive along the beat of the song.
Yes.
Were there any other songs?
One thing that I wanted to talk about. So when I proposed that we were going to do this alliteration thing, I was thinking, like, oh, I know that James Taylor uses a lot of alliteration, so I'm going to use some James Taylor examples. And then I was, like, listening to the album that I have a cassette of. This is why I know. And then I actually struggled to find a lot of alliteration. Like, there were some small examples of it, but
not as many as you initially
Not as
thought.
Many as I thought, which is weird because I thought, like, why does he just give off the vibe of alliteration? He uses a lot of rhyme and internal rhyme that maybe I've
misinterpreted for alliteration.
Yeah, because it's like the aesthetic of alliteration is present. But without, I don't know if that's a little too heady, but.
No, but that's kind of like what I was saying earlier, that you know something sounds nice, but you haven't necessarily intentionally used alliteration to make it sound nice.
Yes. But then last night, I've been listening to my Simon and Garfunkel Greatest Hits record that I have on cassette in my car. And I realized that Paul Simon is actually the king of alliteration.
do you know what's so funny? I was going to search up Paul Simon because I was just like, I'm sure he uses a lot of alliteration. He just gives off that vibe. I was like, he must. But I didn't actually end up like looking into it.
Yeah. Well, and so then I noticed it on...
I don't want to steal it if this is what you're just about to say, but even you can be my bodyguard.
Yeah.
I can be your long lost pal.
Yeah, that's a great example. That wasn't the song I had like written down multiple lyrics of, but I was going to say that too.
Mm-hmm.
But even in Mrs. Robinson, it's not heavy alliteration throughout a lot of the song, but when there's like a weird B part and it just says like, sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, I like that. That's smooth.
And it's cool because that's like the introduction to the B part of the song, like where the melody changes and then all of a sudden it's just like a triple alliteration.
I like that. It almost solidifies the change even more than if it wasn't there.
Yes, definitely. Which is not something I've thought of to do, but that's a great idea.
Yeah, change the style of lyricism in a new section of the song.
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Wow. Challenge accepted.
That's a lot to think about. But I was going to talk about, I was listening to his Graceland album last night, and the opening song, Boy in the Bubble.
Oh, there you go. Straight up. Yeah.
In the first verse, he says, it was a slow day and the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shattering of shop windows. The bomb in the baby carriage was wired to the radio.
Oh, that's...
that's just a masterclass right there.
It is. And it's so smooth because he's managed to combine using a lot of alliteration, but it also making kind of perfect sense, like not sacrificing syntax or grammar of a sentence.
Yes.
Like that's not sacrificed. Syntax is not sacrificed. There you go.
Yeah. That's one thing you can do, or you can be like Azealia Banks and you can sacrifice the syntax, but it's very intentional.
Yeah, and it still sounds just as good as well.
Yes.
And then the only other thing was talking about, you kind of mentioned it there with Boy in the Bubble, but alliteration in song titles themselves. Yes. I couldn't really think of any for that as well, but when you search it, there's some that you're like, of course. So I don't know if there's any that you just knew off the top of your head that kind of stood out.
Yeah, there were a few that I knew right off the bat. I thought this seems like something that would be present in a lot of jazz songs. So I was like looking back through all my like jazz songs that I've sang before, and I did find two examples.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my favorite jazz songs, Lush Life.
Okay.
Great example.
Yeah.
And then also Stomping at the Savoy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I feel like jazz and more kind of crooner types of songs, so like we were saying Frank Sinatra before, it must also be so prevalent as well.
Yes, because it's like a cute thing to do, you know?
Yeah. So in hip hop, it drives the song, and in jazz, and it's cute.
It also, like a big... I mean, I guess kind of an obvious thing about alliteration is that it makes it easier to remember.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, I told my roommates last night that they asked what the podcast was going to be about, and I said alliteration. And one of my roommates, she works in radio, and she said, she's like, oh, in radio, like, we love alliteration. Like, anytime that there is an ad campaign that can incorporate alliteration, they will do it because it just makes it catchy.
That's so true. Even at work, when we're doing kind of marketing things, I'm always like, I need to get some alliteration in there. It has to be done. And my colleagues are always like, you love a bit of alliteration, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, I do. But also, we can have a debate about whether this song title actually counts as alliteration. But do you know the song Karma Chameleon?
I feel like that counts as alliteration. I know like the syllables of that song, but if I were to write out what that says, I would not know what to write.
No.
How do you spell that?
Well, so it's because karma is with a K and chameleon is with a C. So would that be assonance? Do you know what I mean?
No, I would still count that as alliteration.
Okay.
Because it comes off as alliteration to the ear.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. So Come a Chameleon, and then also the group is called Culture Club. So
wow.
I think also it's really interesting having a band name that incorporates alliteration. It goes back to that whole memorable thing you were just saying, that Culture Club is so memorable, I think, for that reason as well.
Yeah, it's a great idea for a band name. I feel like alliteration is something that it can give off a 60s vibe for some reason to me.
Okay, yeah.
Like it almost feels very, maybe it's because a lot of stuff from that time was more campy and showy rather than now most people try to be more cool and laid back.
And have kind of more subtle lyrics and things like that.
Yes. So that's something I was thinking about. But there's this song called Sunshine Superman by Donovan. Do you know that song?
I don't.
Catchy title, Sunshine Superman. Yeah. And then also, that was like a popular song. But also there's a deep cut Van Morrison song called Slim Slow Slider.
Oh, wow. He's gone for it there.
You have a triple alliteration, but it's also with a, what would you call it when it's two, like a compound consonant?
Oh, so the S and the L.
SL. Well,
also, wouldn't that be sibilance because it's the S sound?
Yes, it's also sibilance. So you're checking off all the boxes here.
Yeah, to make it as kind of memorable as possible. But also, as I was just about to say that, it's interesting. I was thinking of tongue twisters. And that is a bit of a tongue twister, and how tongue twisters use alliteration over and over because it's typically hard to say. So maybe that's why it also isn't often used that much, because if you use too much of it, it's actually a bit of a mouthful.
It's hard to say. Slim, slow, slider, slim, slow, slide, slim. Yeah, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But the best thing is that from that title, I feel like it sounds... I don't know what it sounds like to you from not knowing the song, but it sounds like kind of goofy, does it?
Yes, yeah, I would say
but
so.
But it's like a really sad song, like a really slow song, and it's sad, and it's about drug addiction. And there's no alliteration in the song except for when it says Slim Slow Slider, which is just the first line.
I like that as well, like using it to make something stand out because it's nowhere else in the song.
It's like, it would have been annoying to have a song called Slim Slow Slider and then the whole song is just complete alliteration.
Yes, yeah, that would be a bit much, I think.
Yeah, but it's cool to have it as the title. And then the one more example I had, I just felt like I had to call back to a previous episode and say Perfect Places by Lorde.
Okay, yeah, throw that in there. And not that we've actually done an episode on Taylor, but I feel like we have Bad Blood.
Yeah, I was thinking of Bad Blood too. Yeah, we have not done an episode on Taylor, but I feel like she's come up enough that she's recurring an obvious theme.
Obvious thread through the artists we've explored, just because I guess to a certain extent they've been influenced by her as well.
All right, well, should we move on to the game or do you have anything else to say?
No, I am ready for this game and I have no idea what it is, and I'm excited.
Okay, so this might be kind of hard.
Okay, that's all right.
All right, so the thing that I came up with was to bring back our trusty random word generator.
Oh, yes, we love to see it.
And I thought, do the random word generator to make four words, and then each line, we have to write a four-line stanza, and like with... one of the four words per line in order of them. Or maybe they don't have to be in order.
Okay. And whichever line has that word in has to have alliteration associated with that word.
Yes.
Okay. I'm excited. This is going to be good.
And I couldn't think of any way to score this, so I think we should just do it and then share. And it'll just be an activity rather than a game.
Complete the activity and then come back and share with the group.
Yes. And then I have also a secondary version of this game that we can play after.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
This is going to be fun. I feel like we haven't done any actual, like, straight-up writing on the podcast.
No, we haven't. Oh, my God. We should actually... incorporate this into the podcast in different ways, in different episodes, to actually like make it that kind of authentic songwriting thing.
Yeah. I was also thinking we would have like a minute timer.
A minute timer? Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes it interesting.
Yeah, so we have to speed write it.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, well, let's start with getting the words. First word is hall.
H-A-L-L.
Yes.
Okay.
Split. Split. Does that mean we have to use all three? Well, it can be up for interpretation.
Oh, all three versions. I was like, what does she mean? Yeah, yeah.
Trunk.
Yeah.
And sodium.
Oh my God. In 1 minute, are you having a laugh?
I'm serious.
Okay. And you just set your timer and then you say stop when it goes off, so it's the same.
Okay. You'll probably hear the alarm.
Okay.
And start. It's off.
Okay. Okay. Pens down.
That was hard to do in a minute.
It was. I think mine is really good, except for the line that has sodium in it.
I think my sodium one is good. Okay.
Okay. Who's going first?
I can go first since it was my idea.
Cool. Go for it.
Okay. The hallowed halls were heaven, split and splintered with splendor. I tried to trim the tree trunk, sip my sodium and sleep.
Ooh, round of applause for Grace, everybody.
Thank you.
I really liked that. That was cool.
Maybe I'll use it.
You should. I don't see anything.
We can do a Songs We Love album where we just put our songs that came from this.
Yeah, I love that. I'll say mine. I also find it interesting that I used the American meaning of the word trunk, whereas you used a tree trunk
car.
And I did a trunk of like a car where we say boot, but I just thought that was interesting. So, hallucinations of hollow hallways split several ways in my subconscious, all my thoughts tucked in a trunk, feeling sad and sodium.
You had me until feeling sad and sodium.
Well, I was gonna...
But I kind of like
it. I was gonna find a good way to fit in sodium, and then you were like, stop. So I just, like, finished writing the word sodium.
What did you say? Filled with sadness and sodium?
Oh, I should have said that. I just said feeling sad and sodium.
So that,
everyone, is an example of using alliteration where it doesn't make sense.
I love it. It's hard to generate things that don't make sense on purpose.
Yes. Yeah. So I achieved that there in the final line.
So the other activity that I thought of was for us to just take one word and then write four lines and try to use it as many times as we can.
Use alliteration of that word.
Yes.
Okay, I'm down. Let's hope it's a good one. It's only one word.
Or, okay, we could do that, or it could be, like, see how many times you can use it within a minute and still make it, like, a flowing thing that makes sense.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, then it can be an actual contest of who can do it the most times.
Oh, and we can count, okay.
Yeah. Okay, random word is north.
North, ooh, I like that, okay.
I guess it doesn't matter how many words you use that are outside of the alliteration.
Yeah, it's just how many times you can get the alliteration in there.
Okay. And start.
I did so badly. I got into a complete block where I was just trying to write every word beginning with N, and I was like, that's so stupid. Use other words and then you can get more words that are alliteration. So mine is quite bad. So I'll go first so you can go last.
Okay.
Never did I live up north. I needed nothing. I needed no one. The night was not for me. Nocturnal nature. And then I didn't get any further.
Wait, that's really good. What are you talking about?
I mean, yeah, I think it's kind of good. But I mean, I didn't do well in terms of I could have got more. But what I wrote was good, yeah. If you know what I mean.
I guess that's like makes it good to not have the score.
Yes, yeah.
Because that was really beautiful. Mine's going to be, like, not as cute.
Aw, okay, yeah.
All right, but I did get a lot of them, I think. I said, there's nothing north of nowhere, only needles, nets, and neuroscience. Never need to know the notion of needless nights with niceties.
Oh, my God. First of all, you smashed that. That was so many. But also, you were like, mine's not going to be as good. Like, it made sense. And there were some really nice phrases in there as well.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I
got 13. Oh, I got 10. So I wasn't that far behind you.
Yeah, yours. That's what I'm saying. Yours was good.
Okay. Don't beat yourself down, kids.
Yeah, don't beat yourself down. I don't know why, but my computer is, like, trying to die. So maybe we should do one more, and then we can be done. Yep. And that'll be our buffer to keep us from making it a ridiculously long podcast.
That's cool. Which one should we repeat? The four words or the one word?
I kind of like the one word.
Yep, let's go for it. I enjoyed both.
Win. W-I-N.
It's like you're at a spelling bee. Win. W-I-N. Please, can you say the word in context W-I-N. Of a sentence?
Win. Okay. Ready? Go. Mine's a bunch of nonsense.
I think mine is too.
All right, I can go first. Okay. Said, whenever I win, I just want to water down. Why would I waste my world on witchcraft? Wondering where the willows wait while I wade wistfully with will.
There was some sense in there, but you definitely got a lot.
I meant will as, well, will was like the last word I wrote, so I just randomly wrote it down, and I kind of meant like will, like as in like willpower, but I just realized it sounds like your friend named Will.
Oh, yeah.
With will.
So mine is, wondrous wanderers win the world. The windy trail winds. Their words are wildly different. They won when they decided to fly.
Oh, that's nice. Did you have a rhyme? Did I hear a rhyme?
Yes, there was a rhyme. I was trying to think of a W word to end it off, and I couldn't, so I just went for a rhyme instead. I don't know what rhymes, though. I can't work it out.
Yeah, I heard something.
Oh, wines and fly, I think. I don't know how that rhymes, but they sounded good.
It's half rhyme.
Yeah.
All right, well, this was a really fun episode.
Yes.
I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, really hope you enjoyed it. That was a lot of fun. I think we want to try and incorporate more songwriting tasks into future episodes.
Yeah, and if you guys want to try any of these challenges, you should try them and send them to us.
Yeah, do it and let us know how you get on. But thank you so much for listening. We're glad to be back. Hopefully it won't be 3 months until the next one.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys soon.
See you later. Bye. Bye.